Ready? All right, set, go. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to this session, Implementing Microsoft SharePoint 2013 Hybrid for Search Business Connectivity Services, OneDrive for Business, and Yammer. As I was telling everyone before, we were trying to make this topic a little bit longer, but this is as far as we could get. We are going to be focusing on all of these topics here today, and hopefully this is a session that you had intended to join. Everyone's having a fantastic time at TechEd so far? Excellent. All right. I want to poll the audience just one more time. How many IT pros do we have in here today? All right. How many devs do we have in here today? All right. How many bit more business people, business analysts, BAs? All right. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So I think we have maybe around 75%, well, 70% IT pro. A little cross mix between dev, maybe around 40%, and dwindle off in the others. Okay, good to know. So, who am I? My name is Fabian Williams. I work for a company called Plan Technologies in Germantown, Maryland. It's an NSI partner from Microsoft to do all the exchange. I'm sorry, all the Microsoft stack. I predominantly work on SharePoint in the federal team. My manager is actually sitting right there. I blog at fabiangwilliams.com. It's a recent change. It used to be a couple of things. It used to be fabiangwilliams.wordpress.com and then sharepointfabian.com, but I changed it to here, and they both forward here. A lot of the things I blog about is typically BCS or workflows. As I said before, I am a developer, but as you can see by the certifications, I came from an IT pro DBA background and then fell into development. I tweet way too much. I tweet under the handle of Fabian Williams. If you're already here and following the MS TechEd hashtag, you probably see me tweeting all hours of the night and day as well, taking pictures of food and so on and so forth. On LinkedIn, I'm there. You certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And as I mentioned before, I put my email address on the slides because I would like to, interact with the people that I speak with. Especially if you have questions about what we do, and if we run out of time and we don't get to something with enough depth as you would like to do. One thing I qualify that with is just as each of you guys out there have full-time day jobs, guess what? I got full-time day job too. So unless you're going to share with me the charge code for the project that you're working on, that you're going to send me an email on, understand it may take me a day or so to get back to you. Even if it's to say that I have to research it or here's a guy who knows it better, I always will get back to people. The newest thing actually to this slide is the logo on the bottom. On April of this year, I was very fortunate enough to be accepted into the MVP program. And that's about it for that. Now, as I mentioned before, thank you very much. As I mentioned before, there's a lot of things that we're going to be covering here today. The session is largely about hybrid, but there's a story that's being told about search, about BCS, about Yammer, and about OneDrive. And in order to keep track of where we are, I have these session flows diagrams and agenda diagrams throughout the slide just so you can make sure to know where you are. The one thing I'll also say, just because I saw the flash, is understand, actually, 5 minutes before the session started, I gave an updated deck to the guys there. And of course, this slide is going to be there for you guys to pull it down. You don't have to write notes feverishly or take pictures off it. The slide deck is going to be there for you. And as I mentioned before, I will be around until Friday. So stop asking me questions, come to the Ask the Experts panel, and do all of those stuff. So we're going to be working through all of these nine areas, and we have to do it in 75 minutes. Okay? So the first thing that we need to talk about, though, is how do we get here? That's an important question, right? Why are you here inside this session here today? Hopefully, it is because you are using SharePoint 2013 on-premises, or you have evaluated SharePoint online. Those are usually the two drivers that I hear. One of the things that I want to know, though, is are you interested in employing a hybrid solution? That's why I polled the audience before in terms of asking you, have you set up hybrid before? As well, you may have questions about hybrid. If you think SharePoint is complicated enough where you need to understand network, you need to understand SQL, you need to understand web application, and depending on the discipline, you need to understand a myriad of things, put hybrid in there. It gets a little bit more fun. Then they have to become a certificate expert, an identity expert, so many different moving parts. And also, you also have pixie dust. because a lot of things is working on timing between on-premises and online, and you're actually gonna see it in the video here today that I show you. You're gonna see me do something and actually click on it and I get a 401 error. And then I click on it again, successful. Just like that. So sometimes you may doubt yourself on things, and especially because it's so complicated, you may say, I'm sure I missed a step. You know, you break out Fiddler or Netmon in those times and you start to do some work. Anyone here not know what Fiddler is? One person. So it's a great tool that allows you to inspect packets as it's moving across the network. Especially developers and UX people use it a lot to see, you know, headers, certificate chains, and so on and so forth. So it's a great tool. It is free. So go ahead and grab it. So, and the other couple of reasons could be, you know, your business needs to evolve and keep pace. That should be a your, not a you. And you were told that you needed to attend a session. Those are all the reasons why you should be here. But however you got here, I'm glad you're here. Okay. So let's start off by talking about the architecture, authentication, and functional overview of what hybrid looks like. So the first question you want to ask is, what is hybrid, right? So organizations, you know, face significant business challenges. And, you know, there's a need to comply with regulations and also maintain the freedom and flexibility that you get by having an on-premises environment. As a scenario-based example, you know, you're here at TechEd, and Microsoft, you know, knows that they're going to get a volume of people going to sites. So even though they may have on-premises servers, it would be wise if they put servers in the cloud, stretch that farm a little bit, and use resources there as well, because you can scale them up and scale them down. So the hybrid basically is a combination of SharePoint on-premises and SharePoint online in the simplest form, all right? And typically, you may be thinking, well, is Microsoft trying to get you to move to the cloud? Not necessarily, right? Even though, you know, that may be part of their strategy, but, you know, there's a lot of ways in how you could be doing this. It could be you're trying to augment, or you're trying to just move a little bits and drabs of things online, or you're trying to work with partners, and you don't want them inside your Active Directory. So how do SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises exist? Let's just thumb this out through so you can actually see it in these ways, as I mentioned before, just the reason I put it out there. So you have a tightly coupled environment where, as a developer, the one, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, the example I'm going to provide is you can do what you want on your farm. You can put managed code on there. You can deploy full trust solutions. And you have that freedom and flexibility because you own the equipment. It is yours. You may have coexistence, where, as I mentioned before, the examples that we have inside the in the title is search and BCS. How does search come into play? You know, myself, I'm a consultant. I'm typically on client site. So there's a couple of things that come into play when you have that, right? You may have your own managed equipment that you're taking into a client environment that's not allowed on the network. You may have to use their device. You may be on the road going to a meeting. You may be here and actually have an iPad or a Surface or a Windows phone, all of these devices, and you want to be able to continue to do work. So you need some coexistence to allow you to touch back to resources, whether it be in the on-premises environment or in the cloud, and have that seamless experience, because you don't want to okay, which user ID do I use for this? Which user ID do I use for that? Which password? You want to have that seamless experience. And you could be targeting moving something totally towards SharePoint Online. So your strategy is to move everything to the cloud because you want to take that burden off your organization. You want to, you know, abide by Microsoft SLAs. Let them worry about it. Let them have the service. All you need to do is get your business running. And let me just go back to that. Federated identity and directory synchronization. This is the linchpin of everything that we're going to be talking about for the first third of the session, because in the end, it is your end users that's going to see and use this, and you want their experience to be seamless. So one of the things that come into play is how do you manage that identity? Remember, SharePoint is not an identity management system. It relies on Active Directory. The first drink of water. And you also have, you don't want people to be logging on in different environments, so you need to be thinking about how do you federate this user across on-premises and in Office 365 SharePoint Online. So let's talk about it. What is single sign-on? Let's just thumb through this a little bit again. As I mentioned before, these are some of the scenarios that you may face when you're thinking about single sign-on can impact you. As I mentioned before, your managed computer, your work computer while you're somewhere else, a kiosk computer actually while you're here outside, all of those kiosk computers. If you had a hybrid situation, you could certainly be using that to get in using a UPN that is federated, a user principal name that is federated between the on-premises and online. So some of the requirements for single sign-on. I'd like to start this, even before we get into the slide, by framing the conversation conceptually. Whenever we talk about hybrid and we're talking about identity, we're thinking about largely two things, or there are two big things that are going on that if those two big things don't work, it will not work. The first one is going to be the identity of the user. How do you verify who they say they are? The second one is, how do you allow a computer that's out there in the cloud to talk to a computer that's behind my firewall on premises? So there's the identity of the user, there's the identity of the computers or the servers that are trying to do business with your environment, whether it be on-premises trying to get to SharePoint Online or SharePoint Online trying to get to on-premises. And while I'm on this topic, because I may forget to say this, and I want to make sure that we're all, you know, seeing eye to eye, when we're talking about hybrid, or whenever someone is having a conversation about hybrid, especially Microsoft, and you're reading their documentation, understand that the word hybrid is in the context of the on-premises environment. So when you hear the word one-way inbound, they're talking about inbound in the context of the on-premises environment. So it is basically, I am trying to consume information something is trying to consume information from me. Outbound means I'm on the inside trying to get something in, and bidirectional, we'll get to that a little bit later. But some of the requirements, again, is, you know, the security token services on premises is used to manage that experience between communicating across environment. Active Directory synchronization using DirSync and using ADFS allows you to have that integration component for the end user by synchronizing their accounts between the cloud and your on-premises environment. And with DirSync, you can even have password sync that enforces, you know, security policies that you have in terms of password must be X long, it must be expired within X days, and so on and so forth. So with those two in place, you have a piece of the pie already, and then the server-to-server trust now talking about validating the trust experience between the on-premises SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint Online. So as I mentioned before, you have one-way outbound, and one-way outbound basically enables SharePoint in the on-premise environment to connect to SharePoint Online. So, and this, by the way, is the easiest topology to set up. And the reason why I'm actually going to go through all three of them here is because you'll find out that if you're trying to do a bidirectional, you still basically have done already a outbound, and all now you've done is incorporated an inbound. All right. So if you understand, you know, from the smallest piece all to the largest piece, you can't get to the end without starting here. So when we're talking about one-way inbound, one-way outbound, all you have in play basically is your on-premises environment and your cloud environment and your federated user accounts. When you start to talk about one-way inbound, this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Because now what we're saying is that we want people from the outside, or we want our federated account users that are outside of my network to get back in. So the key question is going to be, well, first you need to serve up some content for them to be able to see it, which now needs to be public. And the next thing is, how do I know who's knocking at that door? Right? It could be anyone because they're coming from the outside. So you need to manage that experience as well. So this one is a little bit more complicated because besides worrying about identity, now you have to validate where people are coming from as well. And the bidirectional, best of both worlds. It allows you to have that seamless relationship between on-premises and SharePoint Online. So when you think, we're going to drill down. There are 7 points here, and I want to spend my time on each one of them in a conceptual environment. When you think about hybrid identity structure, as I mentioned before, there's the SDS token that you have to consider, the SDS certificate, I should say. And when SharePoint in an on-premises environment is installed, there is already a SDS certificate that's there waiting for you that's being used in your environment, the first thing that you need to do is swap that guy out, because you need to be able to have both the online and the on-premises working with each other, trusting each other. So the certificate that's being used, that needs to be used, need to be in both environments. So you'll find yourself having to do this, the first thing out the gate, basically creating a new self-signed certificate, and then exporting that certificate with the private key, with the .cr file, and putting them in places both in your on-premises environment on all your servers. I'm sorry, did someone say something? So that's an echo. With all your servers, and also putting it up online. And by the way, if you're not a guru with PowerShell, as I am not a guru with PowerShell, guess what? You will slowly become an expert. A lot of these things have to be done through PowerShell only. There is no other way. So the next thing to consider is to establish a federated trust. So in the environment that you're going to see here today in my demo, one of the things that I did when I knew I was going to be speaking about this topic is go out there and actually register a domain name called fabiansworld.com. Couldn't think of anything original, and I like to put my name in stuff. All right, so we went ahead and got that. The next thing I did was try to figure out the cheap, because remember, I'm only here for a week. And we're talking about certificates. So I try to bargain with GoDaddy and say, hey, I only need the certificate for 5 days tops. No, you can't have that. So I had to go through and procure certificates. First, I went to a SAN certificate. Then I eventually went to a wildcard certificate. We'll get to that a little bit later. But as part of the relationship of trust, certificates are involved, and also a name that is unique to who you are. The next thing is install some updates from Microsoft Cloud. This is probably one of the easiest part. As part of all this entire process, obviously you have a on-premises environment, you also have a cloud environment, or you would need to get one. When you have that cloud environment and you go to your Office 365 site, then there's a couple questions that it asks you if you want to enable a hybrid environment. And once you've established that you want to do that, and it starts to, especially if you're working with GoDaddy, because they have a program with GoDaddy where if you tell them where your domain is, it'll go out and get all your domain settings and pull it in for you, does all that configuration for you. But the other thing is that there's a page that has all the tools that you need to do the PowerShell pieces off it. And it also has DirSync and ADFS 2.0 links there, so you can just click on it and pull it down and work from there. So it's very, very easy, very thought through, very procedural. The next thing is create and acquire those certificates, as I mentioned before. You're going you'll see guidance out there that tells you that you can use a public security authority for the S2S certificate as well, but you'll also see guidances out there that will tell you that you can use a self-signed certificate. Because this relationship is mainly between the servers communicating, there's nothing wrong with that self-signed certificate. You own it, it is your key. It's not something where people are gonna be attached to the browser. But the next certificate that you need, the one that is either going to be the wild card or the SAN certificate, is all about where your presence is. So what is this URI that you're going to be exposing, which is going to be the web application of your SharePoint site? That one, no getting around, right? You need to have a real certificate that can be traced back to the root. And that one you need to buy. The next thing you need to do is to configure SharePoint 2013. As I mentioned before, this actually relates to number one, because part of the configuration is getting those certificates down in place, replacing that one that comes with SharePoint on-premises, and also using some PowerShell magic to get between the on-premises server and in your cloud server. There are also two very important services that must be running before you can get this up and running as well for hybrid. You need to have user profile services running, and it has to have already done a crawl, and there has to be somebody inside here that they can work with, basically a profile in existence. We'll get to that in detail a little bit later, because that also talks about the communication and the security of how people are authenticated if they're coming from outbound or inbound. So we'll get to that a little bit later. Configure SharePoint Online. So we've talked about and what's the other one I said too, right? So the first one is UPS. The other one is the subscription services need to also be running as well. That is the one that allows you to create a proxy inside your service application, a new service application proxy for Azure to be able to be an issuer inside your, to issue tokens that you can trust inside your SharePoint on-premises environment. We'll get to that as well. Configure SharePoint Online is your next thing that you have to do, right? So we're at number 6 out of 7. And in your SharePoint, configuring SharePoint Online is relatively easy, besides the PowerShells that you have to do. But one of the things that you must do now is that certificate that you have, which was from the public authority, you need to use Secure Store. Anyone here not know what Secure Store is? Not know? Everyone does. Great. So you're going to have to create a Secure Store target application that consumes that certificate. So that you, when you use your SharePoint Online resources, whether it be Search or BCS, it will use that certificate to say, I'm online, I have the certificate, I know the key, I want to get to this resource, all right? So those are some of the configuration steps of SharePoint Online. And if you are doing a one-way inbound or a bi-directional, you need to configure a reverse proxy device. Now, with the reverse proxy device, these can come in many different flavors, but I highly encourage that you use the web application proxy. It is very easy. Comes with you know, Windows Server 2012. It's just a matter of just putting it on a roll, and yeah, Bob's your uncle. So, breaking it out a little bit more and talking about the identity management infrastructure, you need to configure your directory synchronization with single sign-on. As I mentioned before, it's a very easy experience. All it means is that you're going to install DuraSync on, well, let's take that back a little bit. Let's talk about your environment. So let's say that you have your on-premises environment outside of SharePoint. Now we're just talking identity, so Active Directory. And you have a ABCD, or let's just use Contoso, contoso.local, right? Contoso.local is not a not a domain name you can use on the public internet, right? So if that's what your strategy was, because your business was there before hybrid, now you need to find out a domain name that is accessible on the internet. So you're going to have to go out there and register a new name. And then you're going to have to get a UPN inside Active Directory set up, or another Active Directory domain name set up that you can tie a user to as a user principal name, so that when they are using hybrid, they are now using a UPN that has a suffix that can be called online. That's extremely important. Now, in my example here today, because I'm doing this is not necessarily demo-ware because it is following a real-world scenario, but because I knew I'm coming here specifically to talk about this, I stood up some servers, and in doing this, I basically said, okay, the Active Directory is going to be fabiansworld.com. So I sidestepped that, where I needed to create another Active Directory trust. So by default, whenever I create a new user, the UPN is already going to have that public name. But that may not be the case, so be aware of that. So there's that piece of the signature. So you need to ensure that your users that you want to be able to work on both sides of the fence, or your federated users, that they have a UPN suffix that belongs to your public name that you registered with that certificate as well. Now, there's benefits to this, right? You could think about that. So let's say that you're in an organization with thousands of people, however, only a select amount of people should be using hybrid, right? Or should be using the resources available to them through hybrid. So that means that when DuraSync goes out and look in Active Directory, you can set up filters that only looks at that UPN suffix that's in the public one and say, synchronize those people alone. So in essence, it aids your administration. Whereas for me, in my world, I actually have to go through and tell it, don't use this as a service account, so on and so, because everyone is tied to that, right? So again, this comes into play when you have DuraSync for the directory synchronization for single sign-on. Now, configure the server-to-server trust is also there as well. You need to allow for SharePoint Online to communicate with SharePoint on-premises. As I mentioned before, this is where you need to swap out that certificate. This is what it looks like from a diagram perspective. Let me just do this one more time so we can just see the entire full chain. Your right, that would be your right, right? Your right would be the The data center side, right? Yeah, exactly. So your right is the data center, and that represents the cloud environment. Your left is the on-premises environment. The things I want you to keep in mind is understand that there, you know, you have your SharePoint on one side, on the on-premises side. You have search service that could be your BCS, that could be any other resource you're trying to make available to the other side, which is your online, where you have other site collections and other information that you want to make available to people. The idea here is that, let's say that you're coming from an on-premises environment only, and you're moving towards a hybrid environment. And no one's going to migrate everything. Well, hopefully. Hopefully, your strategy is that you're going to migrate in phased approaches, and you're going to manage your risk. You're going to basically say, these are low-hanging fruits. Move them across. You know, these are documents that don't get updated ever. Then you have some stuff that are very transactional. This is, you know, this needs to be up. It needs to be running. It needs to be available. You know, people are looking at this every day. So thinking about that, you may say, okay, we want to migrate these site collections to the cloud. However, we want to have a hybrid scenario so that people can get to these items as they would on the on-premises environment. Here's the catch. Here's the rub. We don't want them to have to think where it is, right? So we want them to be able to just say search, and it returns back information from one environment or the next. So that's why we're using the search example here. So the idea is that those federated users would go to search, type something in, and then they would see in their search results, this is coming from online, this is coming from on-premises, and it's boxed out so you know that information. They don't have to think about it. In fact, they won't even know, unless they're looking at the URL, which environment things are coming from. Right? They're logging on as usual. So if we look at the workload specifically now, I've broken these out into outbound, inbound, and bidirectional. Pay attention to the orange icon or the orange colored labels inside there as I explain things. Again, one-way outbound in the context of the SharePoint server on premises. In that example, you are saying where the green arrow is, I want to get stuff from online. So the site collection that's online is going to bring me back federated search results in my on-premises environment if I'm a federated user. Users that have accounts in SharePoint Online and are not federated users logging in will only see local stuff from the SharePoint Online environment and no federated results. That's your protection right there. All right? If you're looking at it from a one-way inbound, notice now we have that reverse proxy inside there. As you can see here, the outbound line is now dark, and the green arrows are now pointing in the opposite direction. In this example, which is similar to what I did in SPC, as I mentioned before, which is on channel 9 on the hybrid session, I should have said that the one-way outbound, let me just go one back. If you look inside on the intranet side, it says search, one-way outbound, BCS, not supported, Duet, which is SAP, not supported. All right. If you look at the inbound, as I was mentioning before, you'll see now that BCS is supported, Duet is supported, which is SAP, as I mentioned before. So here, what we're saying is that we have people logging on with you have federated users logging on, and you want to ensure that in this example that your people logging onto the cloud can consume resources that are in your on-premises. These resources could be, as in the example I did before, BCS. So you could have an external list, external content types provide an external list, or have external columns being used elsewhere. They can consume that in their online, right? So in that way, depending on regulatory compliances or contractual obligations, data is not leaving your area. This is now stored back in the on-premises environment. However, you can surface that information on the outside, and you can massage how that's being surfaced, right? You don't have to say, okay, well, here's a table. You could create your views, create your store procedures, do all these things to manage that experience coming out on the outside and provide a more holistic view. The bidirectional, green both ways, right? So now no matter where you're coming from, you can consume information on both sides of the fence. And as I mentioned before, as you can see, to get here, you've done basically inbound and outbound. So if the resources are there, meaning the time, the money, the servers, having this in place is relatively the path you want to go, and then turn on what you want to turn on and turn it off. It's the amount of effort mentally you're going to put into this, you might as well just be doing this to begin with and just manage the experience. How am I on time? 45. Okay. So let's talk about the steps to configure the on-premises in a little bit more detail now. So you need to have an SSO. You need to configure SharePoint 2013 services. As I mentioned before, those are your user profile services and your synchronization services. And you also now need to configure SharePoint for inbound requests. So let's talk about that. It's the first time you're seeing that. All right? So actually, before we get to that, let's talk about some of the SSO requirements. Now we have some domain names in there. And it'll actually tie back into what I wanted to say in the end anyway. So you need to register that public name. So in my example here that you're going to see today, my web application in SharePoint is called fabianhybrid.fabianworld.com. It is registered in the public internet with an IP address pointing to, I'm going to give away something I didn't want to talk about now, but it's pointing to my reverse proxy box because I'm doing a bidirectional. If I wasn't doing a bidirectional, this would be pointed to my to point back to the SharePoint. I mean, it could be basically, you could have exposed your SharePoint IP to the public internet and it would still work. Except this is now being hidden behind a reverse proxy device, which I still would encourage you to do because you want to be able to use rules to let let things go from point A to point B. And I wasn't prepared to talk about this, but now that I've thought about it here on stage, let's say that when you install SharePoint, you didn't use your web application URI is not a publicly is not in the format of a publicly available name. So it's not https://fqdn. It is basically http://hostname, right? Which is typical inside the internet environment because anyone can get to it, and that's probably going to be your default zone. And then you could probably extend that web application to the intranet or the extranet and then be using a fully qualified name that could be accessed from the outside. Assuming that you did this, assuming that this is not something you're starting off from jump and something already existed, how would you manage the experience where you're trying to say, I want that web app, this SharePoint site available outside, but that SharePoint web app does not have a FQDN that's accessible? So this is where you would extend that to a different zone, but it also has implications here, right? Because now what you can do, depending on what you want that experience to be in terms of how things are returned back to the user based on where they are, you could be using alternate access mappings, right? So basically your reverse proxy, even now you need a reverse proxy to say, okay, fine, things are coming inside here, go here and go get it. Right, so these are where now you may actually want to implement things that are for other scenarios of hybrid based on how you want that experience to be inside your environment, regardless if you're going to be doing inbound or bidirectional. The next thing you need to do is to have a UPN suffix that is on your on-premises that matches the public domain. Right, so that's why I said when I started off with everyone being a fabiansworld.com user. All right. So as I mentioned before, these two guys must be running in your on-premises for things to work. UPS must be there, must be in a started mode. Synchronization has to be already run, and you need to have a profile. You also need to have the subscription setting services running as well, and this one is used now for the STS OAuth trust. All right. Inbound requests. This is what I just talked about before. In terms of the primary web application, and I wanted to get to it before coming to this slide because it assumes all the other things that I said to you before. The primary web application, which is a term used when you're working with hybrid, is that target site that you're working with. And you'll see guidances and videos out there that will show you how to use this, and most of them usually are starting off with like this scenario where this is a demoware and this site is just being spun up, not something where this already exists and I need to work around the fact that my web app URI is not something that's available on the outside. So this can get a little bit tricky or dicey depending on what your scenario is. But understand, as I mentioned before, you may need a reverse proxy or some proxy agent, whether TMG or your F5, something out there to do that translation for you. The next thing is, to handle outbound requests. This is easy, as you can see. To make outbound connection, no configuration required. As I said, outbound is the easiest thing. All you need to do is basically federate your users, make sure that when they go across, you're basically inside Office 365. Once the sync is done, you need to activate those users and activate the licenses, because until you do that, they won't be able to consume any resources. The next thing is the steps to configure SharePoint Online. As I mentioned before, there's a target application involved, and also SharePoint 2013 services involved as well. We did talk about that. The one thing I want to emphasize is that SharePoint Online presents claims to the on-premises SharePoint farm by using the Simple Mail Transfer Protocol, SMTP. And to support this, this is where the user profile services come in, because what's happening here is that when SharePoint Online needs to communicate back to SharePoint Server, it needs to say, okay, I have this user, I need to validate him against you. So when UPS is run, it'll basically look for, this is why the UPN is important now. So when user profile services is ran, and those users with the proper UPN, proper meaning that it's the one that you want to have as your federated users, are crawled, their work email address is going to be the same address that you're going to use as the claim token, because guess what? It's unique, right? To that individual to make a OAuth claims request from online to your on-premises. And the UPN solves that problem right there. Okay? So it means that if you have a person called Contoso/Fabian Williams, that now needs to be FabianWilliams@FabiansWorld.com as the federated user. The next thing is to create that secure store application. Let me just thumb these out a little bit. So it's required for one-way inbound and also for the bi-directional. It is going to be inside secure store. This is your certificate. This is the important part, because we're working with a bunch of certificates. This is a certificate that you've purchased from your trusted authority outside. This is not, as I've seen many people do, your self-signed certificate. Because think about what this is doing. This is what's allowing you to say, knock on the door and say, hey, I'm SharePoint Online. I want access to this. All right. To do that, there are these five steps. I want to go to some demos. That's why I'm thumbing through a little bit quicker. When you create a secure store application that is certificate based, what you'll see, and we'll get to a demo a little bit later, is that rather than providing a username and a password, there's basically a box. You browse, you locate your security certificate file with the private key. Security file that you exported. And you're going to provide the password for the private key of it. So again, I know I may have actually jumped a little bit too far, is for both these certificates that you're going to have, that you're going to register in IIS or in your certificates MMC, you're going to have to export them twice. Export one as a PFX with the private key, export one as a CER. Right? So the one that's the PFX is the one that you're going to be putting inside the secure store, because you want to be able to say, here's who I am. Let me in. Okay. And as with Secure Store, what you will be doing is you will have your members, and these are now where you're going to put the federated users inside those roles, inside that area, so that they can use SharePoint Online to communicate back and forth. So again, layered security, right? So you may already have federated users that may be doing one thing or the other in your hybrid environment, and there's no law to say that you only have one secure store target app. You can have many doing many things. So you can have different memberships based on these different secure store target applications, where the federated users is different in one or the other. And of course, do not forget, you need to confirm the password and also remember the name, write it down somewhere. Now, the reverse proxy device, this is the one that I said that you may only need it if you are doing inbound or bidirectional, but based on your requirements for how the names are created before for your URI, you may need it anyway. So it's definitely for the one-way or inbound. These are here. I don't need to speak to it, and I've already covered that before. If you have questions on it, let me know. But we can sit here and read the slide, or we can move forward. The S2S, this is where we're going to get into some depth and into some PowerShell. Now, I'll let you know, I have videos, for those who came in late, we did cover this earlier. I have videos of the PowerShell piece that I did, and I have videos of the search experience, creating the result source and the query rules and doing the queries. And the reason I did that is because I was having a horrible time with internet, and I didn't want to sit here and you guys and me to watch paint dry. But if the internet's running fast, we can do it live. If not, we'll do the videos. But for the PowerShell, I'd rather do the videos because I don't want to run the same thing twice and have something break. All right? So the first thing you need to do for the service of choice, like I mentioned, is replace the certificate, get the domains squared away, confirm that it works, and there's some PowerShell to be able to do that. Create the service principal. This is something new now that I haven't mentioned before. In the SharePoint Online environment, you need to get the service principal over there to be able to work with the SharePoint in the on-premises environment. So we're going to run a PowerShell script to get the app principal ID in the SharePoint Online environment and write a PowerShell with our FQDN and say, if you see this coming across, allow this person to come through. Add the on-premises service principal name, register the app, and then set up the trust with the ACS proxy. So let's take a look at what that looks like here. And then we're going to go into the video. So to replace this, a lot of this information, as I mentioned before, is out there in guidances from TechNet. I will be writing a blog on, in fact, the blog's already written. I just didn't want to put it out there prior to our session. But you're going to get your STS cert, get the password that you wrote down. Execute this PowerShell script. The most important thing here, besides the information that's new, but if you forget this step, it could cost you a day's worth of work, literally. If you forget the IIS reset and the stop and the starting of the timer services, it could take up to 24 hours for this to register in your SharePoint environment. So you'd have to come back tomorrow and wait for this and to see what happens. So make sure you do that piece right there. It's not there just for vanity's sake. And of course, you're going to replace the certificate with where yours is in your environment. Obviously, it will be a different name. Set up the domain to trust the SSO. So the next thing you need to do is to get go log into SharePoint Online. This is a PowerShell script that you will run, and it's going to pull up a dialog box. You're going to log in with a tenant administrator. And you're going to be able to run the rest of the PowerShell script now to set the STS cert in the online environment. In my example here, of course, you'll swap out the Fabian's world with your name. Okay. And then confirm it works by running this PowerShell script here. The next thing is to create the service principal. And this is now where we're taking the information from SharePoint Online and putting it in the on-premises environment. And then add the on-prem SPN. Once you see the video, it'll make sense. I just want to make sure it's here in the slide for you guys to see it working. So let's take a look at a video. I've been talking for a while. Let's jump across to. Oh, no. Come on. This was fully charged, sorry. The video is actually on here too. Let me see if I can actually get it to work off on this side. Hold on. While we're doing this, any questions so far? Go back two slides. Can I do after the video? Or in case the video takes a while to get back up, I will go back two slides afterwards. So let's look at the PowerShell. Put this in large screen. What I want to do is I want to talk through this. All right. So what you're seeing here is the experience in IIS. So I can't see it there. Oh, I can see it. So basically, this is the STS certificate. This is the export of the PFX file. So this one, you need to provide a password. So we're clicking on the certificate that we created, and we are putting it inside a location with a password. So this is going to go into our certs folder. I'm going to create a new folder called for demo only. I said this was done today at 10:20. And we're dropping that file in there, calling it give good name to cert.pfx. So this is going to be the PFX cert that we saw earlier on that you're going that's needed for the server-to-server trust. You'll notice inside there already there's a wildcard certificate that called asterisk.fabiansworld.com as well. That is the one that we also export out to be used by the, on the reverse proxy. Now the next one is I click on the certificate and do view, and in view I'm now going to export this without the private key to the .cer file. And you'll notice between different PowerShells we're using the .cer for one and we're using .pfx for the other. So again, navigate into, or just giving it a name, and this is the .cer guy. So this is done inside IIS, or you can do it inside the MMC snap-in using so the certificates for local computer. And remember, this you need to import the certificate on every box in your farm, not just the one that you're on, not just your web front end. So there's our PFX and there's our .cer file. Once we have that, the next thing that we're doing here is, which one am I going to click on first? Here's where we are taking the certificate, as you can see here, the .pfx, and we are putting a very secure password there, and we're doing the start and stop. And then we are calling back the certificate name so that we can verify that it's there. And you want to verify that by looking at the thumbprint to make sure the thumbprint matches what you actually have. Next thing that we're doing is clicking on here. So this is setting variables to be able to work with SharePoint Online to do the exact same thing. We're setting these variables up front. The SSO app ID that you see here is a public IP, is the known IP for SharePoint Online. It doesn't change. So we're running that, as you can see. It came back and gave me the accounts.net. There's the response back with the context object inside there this time, which is what I'm highlighting there. So we've made the connection. We have the context. Now what we're going to do is we're going to upload the certificate using some of these variables, which is the fabianworld.com, the SP site, and so on and so forth, just to make this PowerShell script a little bit cleaner. So now we're doing the .cer file, and we're sending this up. So get the path to it. Notice the PFX path, and the start date and ending. That's why I highlighted that. When you're on your certificate, look for the start date and end date on your certificate, and make sure you put it in exactly inside here, with the start date being today's date, not the date the certificate was installed there, but today's date. Okay. That's a gotcha that you'll get. It'll basically tell you invalid parameter for start date. The next thing is we're trying to do. Is to set the SPN, the service principal name. And this is basically now, again, as I mentioned, tying your Azure tenant to your public DNS namespace. So this is now letting both parties know about fabiansworld.com with the asterisk. So we're creating an SPN for that. I just ran it right there. You'll actually see it come back in the blue piece later on, showing you that it's valid. Am I going to run it right now? And did I run it? The result set is in the bottom. All right. So after you do that, the next thing we need to do is to create the app principle, as we mentioned before, to allow now for the server-to-server trust. This basically is going to create a trust relationship between on-premises and the online. So we're taking the app principle off SharePoint Online and making it known inside our SharePoint environment. And the thing to note here, let me see if I can pause the video. Let me stop this right here. Notice the asterisk.fabiansworld.com and SharePoint asterisk.sharepoint.com. Asterisk.sharepoint.com existed before. This is the validation to let you know that your registration have worked. You should only see one of those in here. Now, when I was doing the video, as I mentioned before, I am not the best person with PowerShell, and you know PowerShell has it where you can highlight the script and say, run this piece, and it only runs a selection. I pressed the big arrow instead of the small arrow, so now I actually have two of them inside there, but not in this one, but it, later on when you see me validate something, you're gonna see two, but it should only be one. And you'll notice that the IDs are there, the well-known ID. So basically SharePoint Online with the well-known ID is tied to both SharePoint.com and FabiansWorld.com. Okay, start back up again. Now I'm doing a, next is, next we're gonna actually run these two commands, and I'm gonna pause again and talk about it. We're gonna get the context ID, and then we're gonna get the SP authentication realm. These two things should return a GUID that must be identical. If it is not identical, it is not working, all right? So here is our, and off to the side is basically where it says SharePoint Online. That's the ACS that is created. And it doesn't show the GUID, but the GUID must be the same. That'll be in a screenshot later on. The next thing now is to create the app service. So you're gonna see inside SharePoint, you're gonna actually see a new service application called ACS. And here's what you're gonna see. There's a, coming up, ACS, and then you also have Fabian. Go back. Fabian G. Williams, sorry, Fabian Williams at FabianHybrid.com. Where's that? There it is, right there. There's the CN for both those environments. Basically binding now that public URI for my web application inside the proxy. Okay, let's run it through. And what you'll be doing also is validating the thumbprint of the certificate, just to double check yourself. Okay, all right. So let's get back over to PC. Oh, and you said you wanted to go back two slides, right? One, two. This guy? I'm sorry, say again? We're good? Okay, all right. So the next thing to talk about now is search. So the experience, search is very important, right? Because even in your day-to-day life, when you're doing SharePoint, I, as a consultant, tell this to my clients all the time, it's the linchpin of everything. If you can put all you want to find, put all into SharePoint. If you can't find it when you need it, it's worthless. So search is important. The fact that you're bringing hybrid into the mix, more so important. Because again, you want it to be seamless. You know, when a person goes to Bing and they do their search, they don't care where it's coming from or where it's located. They just want that result back. It's the same experience your end users want inside their world as well. So, you need to configure the on-premises environment and the online environment. You need to create what's going to be known as, you're going to first of all have the crawling going on. In your on-premises environment, you can set up that crawl schedule however you want. In the on-premise environment, crawling is continually. But you're also going to be creating results sources and query rules to be able to tell one of these search components to go and get information from another area. All right? So in hybrid search, users will be able to view the search results from both environments based on you having a crawl being done and creating these result sources and also these query rules. And again, you can create these query rules however you want. To do a bunch of different, you basically, it's almost like we're doing a federated search, except you're doing a hybrid federated search. So this one just basically needs a little bit more parameters in terms of, you know, how to make the call. All right, so let's take a look at the search video, and then time permitting, I'll do it live. So let's go to five, backup one, search. All right, this one's a little bit longer. And you're gonna see the gotcha that I mentioned in there before. So what I'm doing here is going into my on-premises SharePoint site, and I'm creating a result source. There's some, it's showing up there. I thought I was on a different monitor. So what I'm doing here is telling it to go to a remote SharePoint site, and I'm going to rackahybrid.sharepoint.com. So I'm telling my on-premises to go on to my online. So this is a one-way outbound. Notice it's as simple as doing that. Nothing had to be configured for the secure a store. And now I'm doing a query rule. Now, there's a lot of guidance out there on how to do this as well. You'll see some people that go to the query, go to the actual result source you created. I like to go to the local SharePoint results because that's the default one anyway, and just add a query rule to that. So you're going to get both experiences. But as I mentioned, maybe this could be tailored however you want it. So query rule for results for SPO. That's what I think I'm going to write exactly for the demo. There's automatically going to be a condition created for to match exactly what the query string is. I wanted this to be an open search, so I deleted that. I removed the condition. And the next thing I'm going to do right now is to create a result block. And this is the beauty of the seamless experience that I spoke about. By creating this result block, what you're going to have is a like a parenthesis around what's from one area versus the next. So you'll see that it'll say these results are coming from SharePoint Online, these results are, and it's going to be like that. It's going to be appended for demo, so on and so forth. One of the things you're going to see in here also later on is I'm going to do a search and it's only going to return one result. And I'm going to do a search live and you're going to see it returning more. Again, like I say, pixie dust sometime. It's going to watch out for the pixie dust. An important thing you'll see in another one is that you can determine how you want that result source set as well. You can have it either show up at the top, or if there's nothing, or show up at the bottom. You can manage that entire experience as well. So this is now the on-premises side. I'm going to jump across and do the one-way inbound. So notice now this is now Office 365. In my admin center, going again to the mouse is a little bit off, but I'm clicking on Manage Search Result Sources. You'll see once it's clicked on there. So this is the same result source that you saw before. I'm going to create a new one. This one will be a little bit different. Notice the difference? It's not going to be a default authentication. It's going to be me giving it the target app ID. So I'm going in here just to copy some stuff to make sure I don't mistype. But there's the ID. I'm opening up Notepad. Incorrectly pasted something there. Then grab the real one again. So this is a target application ID that's tied to the certificate, which is your outside certificate. And this is the well-known. This is your name of your SharePoint site in your on-premise environment. Now, this is the results from, this is me creating it now. Now, this is where I told you before where it's gonna fail, and I'm gonna click it one more time and it's gonna work. So don't doubt yourself sometimes. Sometimes just sit back and wait because it's hybrid, it's certificates, it's expecting things in a certain time or a timeout. Here's a target app ID. This is me clicking OK. And I'm going to, you can do this in both environments. Go down and do test source. So here's me testing the source to make sure it works. Boom, 401 error. All right? Click OK. Go back, do the same thing again in this period of time. It takes a little bit longer this time around. But it does come back and tell me succeed. You want to do this before moving too far along, because if you don't do it and you do a crawl and things don't work, you won't know where your problems are. So make sure you check your step each step of the way here. All right? Just going to come back, succeed. Did nothing different, as you can clearly tell. Now I'm going to do a search. I'm going to do a search in both environments. I'm going to do a search on premises to get the results back for both environment and do a search online. So after I create the results source, which is the same thing as the other one before, except the targets are a little bit different. While the video is going, any questions? Because we can talk and watch video at the same time, right? Because I know we're going to use all the minutes we need. I can already tell we only have 15 minutes left. No questions? Go ahead, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. Web application proxy, I mentioned. Yes. Yes. Not supported. Yes. Yes. I don't want to say yes to all of those. I can tell you it's not supported. Yeah. Yeah. It may work. It's just not supported. It's Patrick. R2. Right. Thank you. Good catch. So this is a query rule that's coming up. Any other questions while we do this? I'm going to stop when we actually do the search so I can talk through the search. But while this is happening, we can entertain some questions. Is this clear? Is this a clear? You have a question, sir? I'm sorry, say it one more time. You know what? What's your name? Very good question. So I didn't mention that. I didn't mention that for a lot of reasons. So you're going to call me out on it, and let me see where we are here. I am going to answer it, but let me see where we are here. Yeah, okay. So there are two environments that you're seeing here. So there's a gotcha that I found out, which had me, when I was at SPC, I did this using another vendor's site. I want to mention their name, obviously, but if you're looking at the URL, you can tell. Or you'll be able to tell once the video goes. Their environment is hosted in their space. You're going to see it soon. In fact, is this the video? I'll come back to your question. All right, I won't leave it alone. But there's two environments you're seeing here. Here's search from the context of online. This is the one where I say it's going to come back now with just one result. But I'm going to do it live, and you're going to see more. I think I just did it too quickly. But notice the bracket, which is isolating that for you. Now I'm going to do it on premises, and it'll actually work as I intended for it to work. And if I had waited a little bit longer, it would have shown you the same thing twice. But as you can see here, it says recahybrid.sharepoint.com. So this is online finding something in the on-premises environment, right, if you saw that. But it didn't show both, and that was my fault because I didn't do something correctly. So this is me now going to sharepoint.recahybrid.com. Now this is the on-premises side, right? So obviously you can tell the vendor now, right? So and I'm going to do a search again. I'm going to go to /site/search and search for the same thing. And now you're going to see, in fact, the fact that I actually have multiple results sourced there because I was doing a demo. You're going to see twice. If I can spell search. All right, so here I'm going to search for the word Hungary again. And this time it's going to come back and show you everything. And then the video's going to end, and I'm going to do a live one for you. Then I'm going to answer you. There you see. See, it's telling you it's grouping it right there with the brackets. As I scroll down, you'll see that or if I do scroll down, you'll see the separation between online and versus diary. One's rackahybrid.com, the other one is sharepoint.com. Okay? All right. I think that's the end of it. So let me actually now go here and let me find a search result. This is the on-premises side. Let's go to the online side, which is here. Yeah. The SharePoint Online, exactly. So I think this is it right here. So I'll just rerun the search right here real quickly. Actually, let's go to search and type it back in. Bam, bam. And then do Hungary. This is the one that came back with one result before. And as you can tell now, this is the one that I did for the demo. This is the other one that existed before, and this is the other one online. So it's a timing thing. Again, you know, had I looked at it and say, you know what, I messed up, yeah, it's all about timing. Now, to your question, sir, so my environment, it's an important question. So I obviously, to do all of this, I can't do this on my laptop for my on-premise environment because I need a AD box. I need a database box. I need a app box. I need a web front end. I need a DirSync. I need a ADFS, and I need a reverse proxy box at a minimum, right? There's no way I could do that and actually have it function correctly. So I went to Azure, and I created my a network. I created all these boxes as VMs and stood up my SharePoint. seven boxes, right? The experience is refreshing. Let's go with that word. Because first of all, when I had my network on my internal IP addresses, when I recycled the box, bounced the box, and it came back up, search wouldn't work because of the way that the dips are dynamic. So there's a PowerShell script out there to make that static. I ran that. Works on bounces now. However, can you imagine how much money it takes for one day of leaving seven servers up when I'm paying for it? All right, so it just milked me. So basically, I had to deallocate the servers. So when I deallocated the servers, which, you know, turned it off, deallocated, the public IP changes, right? So it would work if I came here and deprovisioned my search and recreated my search application again, recreated a new crawl, and then did all of that stuff again. So the fact that I know I have a vendor that has the that I used before, I basically recreated the same thing there. So does that answer your question? Oh, it doesn't matter. Man, you mean I gave away all that story for nothing? I could have walked away with that without it? Okay, I'm on yellow now. Okay, so now we're going to actually jump in briefly and talk about Yammer. So let's go back to one. Yeah, that's where we are, yeah. Okay, so, but BCS first. You saw me do all these are talking about the query rules, the overview of it, but we went through the video, so I'm assuming that it's self-explanatory. You will have the slide deck. It talks about the online results versus the on-premises results, validating your hybrid search. That's the test source that you saw me do. All right, so yeah, you saw me do that as well. The SSO ID, actually you didn't see me do that. I'll actually talk about it. BCS. I want to go here and leave this on the screen for you for a little bit. With BCS, the only difference is that on top of everything that we've done, the only thing that you need to do now or need to understand is that there is a developer component now, because BCS for hybrid is only supported with OData, right? Which means that you can't use SharePoint Designer to create that endpoint. It has to be Visual Studio, right? It also means that as you're creating this endpoint, you also need to use Secure Store. So a part of your ECT that you're defining needs to also have the Secure Store tied in with the IDs that you created as in your target application on premises, right? In addition, this now is a URI that you can or cannot, depending on how you want to do it, expose to the outside. You can expose it to your web application proxy, So that it can be redirected to an internal, or you can have it exposed to the outside. Again, that's a matter of flavor. It depends on how you want to secure that endpoint. You can be securing it a million different ways, right? The other thing besides that is once you've done all of that, you need to create a BCS relationship inside Office 365 SharePoint Online. Let's actually go there real quickly. So let's minimize this guy here, come back up here, and query rules, let's go to BCS, manage connection to on-premises, and these are the ones that I've had there before from SPC. If you go to the SPC, you'll actually see, five, let's start over again. So BCS, from within the SharePoint Online, manage connections to on-premises, and these are the connections that are there right now. And you'll see that this is an OData feed for AdventureWorks. This is the target application for the on-premises. This is the internet-facing URL which you need to append with. You need to call the web service, the REST API service for the endpoint for SharePoint, and then of course the same target application again that you've always been using. All right, so that's the experience for that, and that's the only thing that's different. Go back to one. But the bit.ly link will have that. Next thing with Yammer is that, you know, you if you go to, and I have screenshots for that actually. If you have Service Pack 1 installed, you have new additions. You can integrate Office 365, Yammer, and OneDrive for Business in your environment. It's very simple. You basically click on Yammer, click activate Yammer, takes you to another screen. You put in your URL for your My Site, and determine whether you want a specific audience or everyone. And you can redirect the site pages. That's not checked by default. I've checked that one, because I want the redirection. Once you've done that, it says now Yammer is now your company's private social network. Understand, once you've done this, the floodgate opens. I've had clients before where they got very excited and start creating groups and inviting everyone. No one knew Yammer was there. So you want to watch that. Then you guys, and this will happen. This is how they're going to know. Emails will start to come, because these are live people welcoming you to something that you had no idea about. All right. So this now becomes your Yammer environment. It tells you to create a profile, join your groups, or create your own groups, and you can start to use those feeds. So once you've done that, then you can pull down a app that's free. This is not the enterprise one. You go to Office 360, you go to the marketplace, pull down the Yammer app, install it, and once you start to use it, you can log into Yammer, and then you get that now integrated inside your environment, your on-premises environment. As you can see, it says adatublive.sharepoint.com. That's my on-premises environment. From an Office 365 perspective, notice the banner, the blue banner, Outlook calendar people. Yammer is not yet activated. On the right-hand side, it says, yes, activate Yammer. Once you have done that, it activates Yammer Enterprise, tells you that you're done. Here, you can tell it to either, which I've chosen, use SharePoint newsfeed, or you can use Yammer.com service, up to you. And now when you've done that, the Yammer now pops up. As you can see, it's in the UR, in the blue banner now, and the same experience as the other one now prevails. Now, I know I have 3 minutes, and I know I moved really, really fast in the last interface, but it's the same thing for also OneDrive for Business. You can click on it, and it does content redirection. In 3 minutes that's left, are there any questions? I'll stay around as well, and I'm always around for you to ask me questions. Sorry that I had to speed up in the end. There's a PowerShell script for it. Yeah, and there's a link in the slide deck for that as well. Sir? Or users. Mm-hmm. Insofar as I know, and I would have to validate this, it's everyone that comes back as a profile from user profile services, but I'd have to validate. If you want to give me your email, I can follow up with you on that. But because I've done this in my lab environment, and everyone is in my AD, I have not tested your particular scenario, if it's everyone. Right. Right. But the other option that you saw there, there was a dialog box that you could put a security group inside there. So if you wanted to narrow it down based on the security group inside your Active Directory, that's one way to ensure that it's only going to your targeted audience. Yeah. Any other questions? I'm going to hang around. So go ahead. Yes. I have not used that. As far as I know, there are three that you can use: the TMG, web application proxy, and approved appliances. Since I've been doing hybrid, I've always used a web application proxy. I don't know if that's an available option. I have not done it. One thing I can say, just as a question and answer before, those are the supported ones. Yeah. So if it doesn't work, do not call. Any other questions? Go ahead, sir. No, actually, I think the slide may be a bit misleading. Let me explain what I meant to say is that when SharePoint Online wants to do something on behalf of the user, it needs to send a claim. So it's querying user profile service to get the SMTP, which is the work address off that user, to wrap inside the claim token to send across to ADFS to say, is this person an authorized user? So maybe the slide needed a little bit of help. Thank you very much for at least letting me know that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the session. I know we raced a little bit at the end. Fill out your evals.